Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is John Crosley here on WOTARP, your favorite stop on your radio dial. Welcome to Mystery Tuesday. Each week at this time, we bring you an hour of thrills, chills, and excitement, starring two of your favorite radio gumshoes. Coming up first, it's an adventure of that detective dame who's nobody's damsel in distress, Jane Blaine, Lady Detective. We'll hear her all-new adventure right after a brief word from our sponsors.
Wonder Whip was introduced only a short time ago, yet today it's America's favorite salad dressing, the favorite of millions of men and women. Why? Because it's so delicious. Because it's so good. Wonder Whip is not too bland, nor too sharp, nor too oily. It has a just right taste all its own, familiar yet entirely new. And Wonder Whip is an exclusive combination of the fine ingredients of finest mayonnaise and true old-fashioned boiled dressing, whipped to a fluffy smoothness, so creamy, so delicious. Hundreds of thousands, millions of women are using Wonder Whip salad dressing, created by Grant Foods. Many have told us they prefer it to mayonnaise, and yet it actually costs less. Regardless of price, however, they tell us they would still prefer Wonder Whip. You'll enjoy your favorite salad more than ever with Wonder Whip. Try it. Get a jar from your grocer or at your market first thing tomorrow morning.
Before we continue, let me remind you to ask your grocer for Harry's new cream of spinach soup. If he doesn't have it, he can get it for you. And wait till you see how your family will go for it.
Well, we like spinach. And we like cream soups.
And then you'll surely like Harry's cream of spinach soup, Mrs. McVeigh. It's so smooth, so delectably seasoned, so filled all through with garden fresh taste. Harry's, you see, makes it from only the freshest garden spinach, picked when it's crisp and deep green, and then washed and washed until the water runs crystal clear. Then they carefully blend this tender young spinach into the smoothest, creamiest puree imaginable. Gently cooked to retain its garden goodness.
Mm-mm, good.
Mm-mm, good is right. And think what a help Harry's cream of spinach will be with your summer meals. It's the perfect once-hot dish to have with salads and other cool summer dishes. Bowls of cream of spinach soup and sandwiches make the very best sort of lunch. Yes, ladies, you can build many tempting and easy summer lunches and supper around Harry's newest soup, cream of spinach. The family will be delighted. And remember, Harry's soup on your shelf is like having a part-time cook in your kitchen.
And now here's Anya Thomas, starring as Jane Blaine, Lady Detective, in a brand new mystery by Eva Shigula, Broken Links.
Careful there, Myrna. Wouldn't want to rip the crossword puzzle before you get a chance to try your hand at it.
It's too quiet.
Feel free to go back out there on the mean streets, covering crime and frightening good citizens out of their wits.
The public has a right to know.
In the most lurid adjectives possible?
I can't help it if my editor likes purple prose. Besides, it's raining cats and dogs out there. I'll ruin my shoes.
Maybe I'll reach out the window and grab you a puppy or a kitten. You need company.
You're one to talk.
I'm perfectly content.
For the moment.
When I stop being content, I'll do something about it.
Delivery!
Thank you so much. Where's Tony today?
Dunno. Guess he called in sick. Boss told me to take his deliveries today.
Wait. Here's your tip. What's your name?
Tommy. Thanks, miss. The guy on the third floor said he'd give me a tip. He said, don't take no wooden nickels, and then gave me a wooden nickel.
That's Mr. Gordon. He has an odd sense of humor. Now, if Mr. Brody up on the fifth floor ever gives you a tip on the horses, take it. He knows what he's doing.
Thank you!
Seems like a smart kid. Maybe he can work his way up from delivery.
Tony's never been sick, not in the entire time I've had this office.
Then he's due. What you working on anyways?
finishing up the paperwork on the Dunwoody case.
How's your arm? And the ankle? You're not in a sling anymore or on crutches.
Healing nicely, thank you. Believe it or not, the ankle hurt more in the long run than getting shot.
I don't think I want either one, even in the short run. But thanks for giving me the scoop once it all went down. How are you getting paid, seeing as your client wound up being the guilty one and is, well, dead?
The city's paid my fee, and a bonus of gratitude.
Least they can do since you saved the mayor's hide.
And the deputy mayor took me to dinner at El Morocco.
Well, then.
I don't want to see that in your paper.
Jane, I'm sure either Winchell or Charlie scooped me on that one, but if it goes any further, I want to be the first to know. First off the record, then on it.
We'll see.
I'd like to see Mr. Blaine, please.
May I ask why?
Personal business. Just run along, doll, and tell the nice detective that I'm here.
I'm afraid it doesn't work that way.
He'll want to talk to me.
Oh, I doubt that.
Are you looking for Mr. Blaine in particular, or the Detective Blaine of Blaine Investigations?
Ain't they one and the same?
I'm afraid not.
Oh. I'm sorry. Shall I come back later?
I wouldn't bother, unless you plan to tell me why you wish to hire a private detective.
I'm not trying to hire him.
Then?
I'd like him to hire me.
And why would Blaine Investigation need to hire you, Mr.? If you say either Philip Marlowe or Sam Spade, I'll call you a liar to your face.
Forrest. Steve Forrest.
Figures.
Huh?
So busy being a forest, you're not looking at the tree right in front of you.
So you're looking for work, Mr. Forrest?
Look, I'd rather discuss this privately with Mr. Blaine.
There is no Mr. Blaine.
Then who is the Blaine of Blaine Investigations?
I am Jane Blaine of Blaine Investigations.
That's not possible. You're a dame!
I'm fully licensed. It's all quite legal, I assure you.
Because the deputy mayor's got a soft spot for you. But yes, it's legal.
Wow, I don't know what to say.
Why don't you have a seat, Mr. Forrest, and you can tell me why you want to work for me. Myrna can leave if you'd rather do this in private.
I'm not going anywhere. This is bound to be good.
Myrna!
I'll just listen in through the keyhole, so you might as well let me stay.
Anything you hear in office
is off the record and confidential. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, what's your story, Mr. Forrest?
I bet there never was a Mr. Blaine.
There was. He died overseas in the war 3 years ago.
How convenient.
Not for me.
You know, Mr. Forrest, for someone who claims to want a job, you're not giving a good interview.
What are your credentials? Are you a licensed private investigator?
Or maybe ex-licensed?
I'll be honest with you.
I bet that's a first.
Myrna, behave or I'll toss you out on your keister. You might sit on the floor and listen at the keyhole, but that linoleum gets awfully cold this time of year.
My apologies, Mr. Forrest.
Whatever.
Stand back. It could be dangerous.
He's hurt.
He's more than hurt. Someone's filled him full of lead.
He's bleeding all over your nice hardwood floor. That'll be a nightmare to clean.
Is there a pulse?
Well, the honest truth, I'm not so good with blood.
No wonder he's a private eye looking for work. If those eyes are gonna shut every time there's blood involved, it kind of limits the options.
No pulse. He's dead.
Both of them? Didn't think Forrest hit his head that hard.
No, Myrna, the stranger full of bullets. What's this, clutched in his hand?
You're prying something from a dead man's fingers? Now I've seen everything.
It's a locket. There's an inscription. To Alice, forever, James, 1944.
I doubt he's Alice. I wonder if he's James.
The chain is broken. That makes me think he tore it from Alice's neck.
As she ran away from him, or as he fell after she shot him?
Could be either one. We need to find out who James and Alice are.
Do you have any idea how many Jameses and Alices there are in New York, much less the United States? He's wearing a peacoat. What if he came off a ship?
It just makes the list longer, that's all. We have to call the police. We can't leave a dead man on the floor.
He'll start to smell soon.
Don't mention the locket, okay?
Not a word. What do we do about the Prince of Sleep?
Hopefully he'll come to before the police arrive. Hello? I'd like to report a dead man.
You're sure you have no idea who this man is?
Positive, Detective O'Malley.
No idea why he dropped dead in your office?
I assume he dropped dead because he'd been shot so often. But of course, cause of death is up to the medical examiner.
Don't get cute with me, Mrs. Blaine.
I wouldn't dream of it, Detective.
She just can't help herself, that's all.
But why you?
I am in the Yellow Pages.
You seriously believe a guy shot full of holes is going to take the time to look you up in the Yellow Pages?
Perhaps he looked me up before he was shot.
Which makes it even more suspicious. Why would he come to see you?
Why would he come to a private detective? Or why would he come to a private detective who's a woman?
Either. Both. You got anything to add?
Not a thing.
That in itself is suspicious. You always have too much to say.
Where am I? What happened?
Are you feeling better, Mr. Forrest?
Was he here when the bodies?
He's unwell.
Must be a touch of the flu.
You just happened to be here when the guy dropped dead.
He's a private detective.
Buying the business?
Here for a job interview?
Seriously? You'd work for a dame? I don't recognize you. I know most of the private dicks in the area.
Steve Forrest, out of Chicago.
Yeah, well, buddy, this is New York. We don't want any of you Chicago boys trying to muscle in. You give me any trouble, and I'll put you on the next train back myself. What are you doing in New York?
I needed a change of scenery.
So you want to spend your days looking at a dame detective? I don't believe you, even though she's worth looking at. What are you into? What are you running from?
Call the commissioner. In Chicago. He knows me. He knows my work.
You can bet I will.
Are you done insulting all of us, Edward? We have work to do. I think you do too, with the dead man your boys just carried down the stairs and all.
Edward, so you two know each other. Hey, was there ever a Mr. Blaine? Or did she just make all that up for appearances?
Her husband and I were in the army together. Overseas.
Which is why Edward thinks he can take such a proprietary tone with me sometimes. Often.
I just don't think this is the best way for you to make a living.
I do quite well, thank you very much. And I enjoy it.
You enjoy guys staggering in, dropping dead, and ruining your floor?
A little Clorox, a little floor polish, everything will be fine.
4 weeks ago, you sprained your ankle.
I misjudged the height from the fire escape and landed badly, that's all.
3 weeks ago, you were shot.
He was a jewel thief, not a murderer, one with very poor aim. I startled him, that's all. Good day, Edward. If I find out anything useful, I'll call you. I trust you'll do the same.
Modern women.
Prowling around on fire escapes, getting shot by jewel thieves. You're a little bit of the all right, aren't you, Mrs. Blaine?
I get by. Now then, I want you to take a look at this locket. The dead man was carrying it.
Delicate chain. Broken. An inscription. No. No, it can't be.
What is it, Mr. Forrest? You've gone the color of chalk.
You're not gonna faint again, are you? My flask is empty.
It can't be. This locket is connected to the case that won't stop haunting me. The case that caused me to leave Chicago.
So you know who Alice and James are?
Delivery! Hey, that looks like blood on the floor!
There was an accident.
That why the cops was here? What was the big package they were carrying?
A body.
Myrna!
I'm testing my readership for when I write this for my paper.
No! Who died?
We don't know. The man wasn't carrying any identification.
How'd he die?
Someone shot him full of lead.
That guy?
Mr. Forrest is here for a job interview.
Doesn't mean he couldn't have shot him before he got here. I read about that stuff all the time in True Detective.
They pay writers to make those stories up, dear.
No! Do you make stuff up too?
I'm a reporter.
That didn't answer his question.
I report on the truth. I just make it more interesting.
So this guy comes in, he bleeds all over the floor, and then he just falls
I'm afraid so, Tommy. I hope that's not too upsetting.
Wait until I tell the guys that Alma saw a murder!
How do you know it's a murder, Tommy?
If he had a bunch of bullets in him, it's unlikely he put them there himself, ain't it? Was he carrying anything?
Like I said, there was no identification on him. Here's your tip. Where's the delivery?
I guess I put it down somewhere. I'll go find it and be back.
Take the tip now anyway.
No, miss. I couldn't do that. It wouldn't be right. I'll be back soon.
Mr. Forrest, we were talking about Alice and James.
Yes, Alice Bundy and James Fleming.
From Chicago?
Were they sweethearts?
Since high school. When James signed up for the Army, they wanted to get married before he shipped out, but Alice's parents weren't having it. They wrote each other every day. Alice knitted for him constantly. He was the best-dressed man in his unit. Even got her friends to knit for his buddies.
Were you one of his buddies?
Yeah, we were in the same unit.
You developed your distaste for blood in the war?
Saw too much of it over there. It changes a man.
I need my notebook.
I'm sure this is off the record.
I'm just making notes for when it's on the record.
There was a lot of press about it. When we came home, we went our separate ways. I started working as a detective. Mostly insurance cases, a few divorces, a couple of counterfeiting rings.
You tried to stay away from blood.
Yeah. Alice and James sent me an invitation to the wedding. I thought it'd be grand. See my old pal, in love and all. Thank Alice for the socks.
But something happened.
There was no wedding.
They broke up after all that knitting.
They didn't show up when the music started. When someone went looking, they found James and Alice dead in a garden shed. The cops decided that he'd snapped, shell-shocked, shot her and then himself.
Was she in her wedding dress? It's bad luck for the groom to see the bride in her wedding dress before the whole till death do us part stuff's done.
Only they were parted before death, and you don't believe James killed Alice.
I saw plenty during the war. There are things you don't think you'd ever do, and then you wind up doing them to survive. But James would never kill Alice.
Did you try to prove it?
I couldn't. No one would believe me. I was the only one who thought it was strange that she wasn't found with her necklace. I was with James when he took it to the jeweler to get it engraved over in Paris. She swore she would never take it off.
So someone took it off her. Did Alice have other boyfriends?
From what James said, she was the loyal type.
How many girls don't want to tell their sweethearts they met someone else back home? Heck, in all the war relief meetings, it was drilled into us that Dear John letter could cause them to lose their will to live and walk in front of a bullet.
My wife had no problem running off with a fuller brush man while I was overseas.
It was hard to get a good fuller brush during the war. They concentrated on gun brushes.
Myrna! What about other family?
Alice and James both have parents. Alice's parents didn't want her marrying James. They thought he wasn't aiming high enough. When we came back, he wanted to work at the airplane factory. They wanted Alice to marry a banker. They both have brothers. James's older brother was a merchant seaman, and Alice's brother was just a kid.
Merchant seaman. I wonder if the man who died on my floor was James's brother.
Let me call my contact down at the port. Maybe I can get information on ship manifest.
How would James's brother get Alice's necklace?
Unless he killed her.
Why would James's brother kill Alice? And James?
Hello, Doug. It's your old pal, Myrna. I was hoping you can do me a favor. Yeah, that sounds about right for the favor I'm asking. Any idea how many ships came into port today? That many? How hard would it be to look up the manifest? I'm looking for a guy, last name Fleming. You naughty boy. 16 of them? Not too bad. Hang on a sec. Need my notebook. Thanks. Okay, I'm all set. Give me the list, name and vessel.
It's gonna take time to track down 16 sailors.
I'd suggest starting at the bars and brothels closest to port and work our way out.
You're not going down it.
I most certainly am.
Oh, I forbid it.
You came here wanting to work for me, remember? You don't get to forbid me to do anything.
16 guys named Fleming. 4 of them James or a variation, so I think we can rule them out. Unless your buddy James's parents like naming all their kids the same.
No, they all had different names.
Adam, Rocco, Bobby, Jock, Mickey, Robert.
Robert. I'm pretty sure it was Robert.
There are 3 Roberts, 4 Bobs, and a Rob.
We'll start with the Roberts. Work our way down.
What about the delivery you got earlier today? The one the kid brought in? Think that could have anything to do with it? Would Robert have sent something ahead?
Let's find out. I never even had a chance to open it. That's odd.
Blank paper? Who would send you a package of blank paper? Especially delivered by messenger.
Edward keeps telling me I should write novels, but I think he'd be more direct.
What's the return address?
I can't read it. It's smudged.
Wonder what was in the package the kid forgot to bring the second time. A pen?
Mr. Pomfret, it's Jane Blaine, over on Broadway and 47th. I wanted to ask about the young man who's taking Tony's place today while he's out sick. His name is Tommy. Oh? Oh, I see. No, don't worry about anything, Mr. Pomfret. I'm sure Tony's just playing hooky for the day. Of course, Mr. Pomfret. No, I'm not angry, Mr. Pomfret. Your delivery service has always been reliable.
Let me guess. Tommy wasn't sent here.
Mr. Pomfret sent Tony out early this morning, but hasn't seen him. He doesn't have anyone named Tommy working today.
So why did Tommy pose as a delivery boy, delivering blank paper?
Case the place, of course. See what I was dealing with.
What do you want, Tommy? What happened to Tony?
Tony's taking an extended nap. That's all. Nothing permanent. Where's the necklace?
What necklace?
The necklace Robert Fleming still had in his hand after I shot him.
Why would you shoot Robert?
Keep talking, kid. It's good to get your side of the story out. I'll do right by you, I promise.
Myrna, shut up!
Hey!
Why do you want the necklace, Tommy?
Have you taken a good look at it?
18-karat gold, filigree chain, a locket with someone else's name on it won't suit you, kid.
I'm not gonna wear it.
Then why do you want it?
You're Alice's kid brother, aren't you?
Yeah.
Did you?
You are so stupid. And you call yourself a detective. Aren't detectives supposed to be observant?
What are you talking about, Tommy?
I mean, here's this guy. He was with James when James got the necklace engraved. But James didn't buy it at that store, did he?
I thought he did.
You thought. Let me give you some advice, lady. You seem real nice and you tip well. Don't hire this idiot.
Here's the necklace. What's so special about it?
Take a look at it. A close look.
Oh. Is that what I think it is?
That's a lot of engraving on a small piece of jewelry, even if it's French.
Exactly.
I don't get it.
And you won't get it, because I got it.
Well, technically, I got it. I'm holding it in my hand.
Possession is 9/10 of the law and all that.
Oh, you'll give it to me. See, I got the gun.
Yikes! So you do. It's a map, isn't it?
Yep. You remember those nice French people who put soldiers up in their farmhouses?
They were kind. We shared supplies. They had a very pretty daughter.
And he's surprised his wife left him for the Fuller Brush Man.
In case the Allies didn't win, your host didn't want to lose everything. They buried their valuables. James watched. He drew a map.
Where were you when this was going on, Steve-O?
Like I said, they had a very pretty daughter.
Well, Steve was off learning French. James drew where the family buried their stuff. On leaving Paris, he had the map engraved onto the locket, which he sent Alice.
Who told you about it?
I'm her little brother. We always told each other stories of buried treasure growing up.
Did they plan on digging up the treasure?
They talked about going to France for the honeymoon. They wanted to help rebuild the country after the war. Both sets of parents were putting up money for it.
They were going to dig up the treasure, sell it, and go to the South Pacific.
And get radiation poisoning?
Maybe they were only going as far as Hawaii. But they were going to leave me behind.
What happened on the wedding day?
Alice said she had to meet him before the wedding. She had me set it up in the shed. She was worried about the family in the farmhouse, that they'd be suspicious. James told her not to worry, that he'd take care of it.
By killing them?
James wouldn't do that. Not the people who were kind to us.
James was different when he came back.
We all were.
Killing didn't bother him the way it used to.
You were too young to fight. Doesn't killing bother you?
They were going to leave me. Alice promised all our lives that we'd always go on adventures together. She promised she was going to leave with James.
So you killed them?
There's more to it, isn't there?
They were arguing. I was in the corner of the shed. James raised his hand as though he would hit her. You don't hit girls, no matter what. One of Daddy's old guns from the First War was there. I didn't think. I grabbed it. I was scared he'd hurt Alice. I shot him.
Took him down with one shot? I'm impressed.
I couldn't believe it. I'd never shot anyone before. Then Alice started screaming and got scared, so I shot again.
You shot your sister?
I couldn't believe I did it. I was so scared. I ran out of there, straight into Robert. He said he'd help me. He rearranged the gun, moved the bodies.
Stole the necklace.
I didn't realize until later. Robert disappeared right after the police left. As soon as someone mentioned the necklace was missing, I knew he stole it. I've been tracking him ever since. He had some medical reason they didn't let him in the Navy.
Like he was nuts and liked rearranging crime scenes?
So I've been trying to keep track of him. I figured New York was the best place to keep watch. I saw him by accident this morning, down at the docks. He was asking about detective agencies.
Why?
James never told him about the map. Robert hadn't heard the whole fight. He knew the necklace was important, but not why.
You have to turn yourself in, Tommy. You know that, don't you?
No!
You shot James, and Alice, and Robert.
Robert sounded like he kind of deserved it.
That's not up to us.
I'm taking the necklace and using the map. I'm gonna find the treasure, and then find another treasure, and another, and another. I'm going to find treasure for the rest of my life.
What are you gonna do if anyone gets in your way, Tommy? Just keep shooting people?
I should shoot you, mister.
Tommy, please, I'm sure we can figure out something.
Thomas Bundy, you're under arrest for the murders of Robert Fleming, James Fleming, and Alice Bundy.
Have you been eavesdropping?
He left the door open. Good thing he did.
I had it under control.
You're about to get shot again. Twice in 1 month is twice too many.
He wasn't going to shoot me. He was going to shoot Mr. Forrest.
And you were
going to
jump him when he did?
Hit him over the head with my chair at the very least.
Put the gun down, kid, and come quietly.
No! You'll never take me alive!
Don't jump! That poor, poor boy.
Don't look, Forrest. You'll faint again.
If only I'd been more observant back in Paris. This is all my fault.
Don't be so hard on yourself.
Greed is as greed does. James chose greed.
Well, you chose a pretty French girl.
I got a call for some guys to clean up that mess. New Yorkers get antsy when we gotta shut down a street for a corpse.
What's gonna happen to the map?
Evidence? Until we get the statements and close the case.
Mr. Forrest, I think I will hire you.
Jane, were you hit on the head? Maybe you need to lie down with a cold cloth.
Once the necklace is released from evidence, I want you to take it back to the family in France. That way, no one will ever be tempted to kill for it again.
You trust me with that?
I would. When you return, we can talk about your next assignment.
He might choose to stay with a pretty French girl.
That's his choice.
Thank you, Mrs. Blaine. You can't know what that means to me. Thank you.
Your kind heart's getting you into hot water again. But what a great story. I gotta get back and write it up before the night's deadline. And then I got a date with Doug from the docks. Night, Detective O'Malley. See you tomorrow, Jane.
Tomorrow.
What am I going to do with you, Jane?
Take me to dinner, perhaps? Somewhere nice.
Somewhere nice. Because tomorrow, Detective Jane Blaine will be at it again.
You're listening to Mystery Tuesday here on WOTARP. Coming up next, an adventure of the man with the action-packed expense account, Johnny Dollar. We'll hear tonight's mystery right after this quick word.
Okay, this gives me time enough to introduce my friend and your friend, the one and only educated train known to man, the talking Bromo Seltzer train.
Fight, headache, three ways. Bromo Seltzer.
Yes, you can't beat that for good sense. Fight headache three ways with Bromo Seltzer. You see, common sick headaches often affect you three ways. Pain in the head, jangling nerves, and upset stomach. But
Bromo Seltzer quickly relieves the pain in your head.
Bromo Seltzer helps settle jumpy nerves.
Bromo Seltzer helps settle upset stomach.
There, see what I mean? Three-way misery, three-way relief with Bromo Seltzer. Use it only as directed on the label. For frequent or persistent headaches, see your doctor. For common sick headaches, do as millions of others do. Use tried and true Bromo Seltzer.
Fight headaches three ways. Bromo Seltzer.
And now here's America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator, yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring in Murder is a Merry-Go-Round. The Columbia Broadcasting System presents yours truly, Johnny Dollar. The next half hour has its baggage packed to take a trip with America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator, Johnny Dollar. At insurance investigation, he's just an expert. At making out his expense account, he's an absolute genius.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Home Office, Nutmeg State Casualty and Bonding Company, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of my expenditures during an investigation of a series of accidents affecting your policyholder, the funfair and Weatherly Carnival shows, or how I went for a spin on a case we might refer to as Murder is a Merry-Go-Round. Expense account item one, 25 cents. Purchase of billboard, a theatrical magazine, to check the route of the funfair and Weatherly Carnival shows. Expense account item two, $68. Air and train fares to Talladega, Alabama. Item three, $1.10, cab fare in what was only a fair imitation of a cab from the Talladega Depot to the dusty vacant lot, which had overnight found itself wearing theatrical makeup. Brightly as the hot sun beat down on the midway, it couldn't help the layout of canvas and slats from looking beat up. A perspiring mechanic shot sparks of profanity back at an obstinate motor as he tried to get it to roll the giant hoop of the Ferris wheel. I asked him what he knew about the accident of a week before when a car dropped off this very same Ferris wheel, badly injuring three. He was charming.
Listen, pretty boy, don't go getting nosy around here.
The Joe in charge of the electric scooter concession was just as sweet. On the subject of how come one of his scooters blew up a few nights back, sending a citizen to the hospital. He just didn't feel like talking.
If you're in a cab, start moving. If you are, where's your warrant?
I was just asking the pilot of the giant airplane spin who he thought might have cut the cables the night one of his warboard gliders took off across the carnival crowd, crashing and busting up a few more customers. When I got the canvas man's version of a sharp answer, a tent stake right behind the ear.
Well, so Sleeping Beauty's waking up, huh?
Who are you?
I thought maybe you'd be sick of asking questions. First, maybe you'd better answer a few. Before you get up. Number one, who are you?
I'm a pilgrim from Hartford.
Never mind the double talk, wise guy. What's your name?
My name is Johnny Dollar, but right now, I feel like 2 cents.
What's your big interest in those accidents you was asking questions about?
Strictly academic. I'm only representing the insurance company that's paying off on those accidents. Now, maybe you'll tell me who you are and where I am.
Oh, thought you guys were smarter. Dollar, I'll let you in on a little secret. Next time you want to find something out on a traveling show, get to the boss first. Asking a lot of questions around a circus or carnival lot is unhealthy.
Where is the boss, Miss Pepper?
Louise is at the other end of the trailer. She'll be out in a minute. You can get up on your feet.
Oh, thanks. I hope you don't mind if I don't stay up on them. I feel more like sitting down.
Yeah, go ahead.
You still haven't told me who you are.
The name's Brennan.
Oh, yeah. Shanny Brennan. Yeah, yeah. You're the general manager of the show. They told me about you. Louisa Pepper's right arm, and a strong arm. How long will she be?
She's getting dressed. How about just finishing a nap? We drove all night to get here. How about having a flask with me while you're waiting?
No, thanks. I haven't enjoyed a noon bottle since I was two. But don't let me stop you.
Thanks. Oh, you sure you want to have one?
I'm sure. Brennan, the insurance company's been checking up on your show. The police chiefs in the last 10 towns you've played say you're a clean one.
Yeah, we haven't had a pickpocket or a grifter in the lot.
But plenty of trouble, huh? During those past 10 stops?
At least once a night, somebody's got hurt. But never any of us. It's always one or two of the townies. The citizens. Last night, a car on the whip cut loose. That sent four to the hospital.
Uh-huh. Four more insurance claims for Nutmeg State casualty and bonding, huh?
Yeah. And one more town. We won't be able to play again for another couple of years. It's a wonder we didn't travel out of that last town by rail, tarred and feathered.
For 10 straight nights now, you've had at least one big accident every night. What's your best guess, Brennan? Has fate taken a steady job on your show, or is somebody out to get you?
Somebody's out to get us.
Okay. Well, do you have any idea?
Hello. Oh, why didn't you tell me we were entertaining a gentleman's shanty? I'd have put on some more clothes.
It would have taken more than clothes to cover all there was of Louisa Pepper. She looked like an aging Pupi doll, but even in a carnival, she was no prize. I didn't like the look in her eye. It looked much too friendly. So, right away, I decided to change the unspoken subject. Miss Pepper, I'm here on business. Insurance.
Sorry, we're not buying any.
And I'm not selling any. The way things have been going, the insurance company I represent would probably like to buy some of yours back.
Oh?
Yeah, I'm from Nutmeg State Casualty, investigating the accidents.
Huh. Hope you find out more than we've been able to, and fast, before we go broke. The word's traveling one town ahead of us. They got us pegged for a dangerous midway.
Have you been using police protection?
20 extra cops a night at $10 a cop. So, night before last, a guy winds up with a hammer to try and ring the bell and win a cigar. The top of the hammer flies off and almost brains a cop. Heh, around this show, the police need protection.
I see what you mean. How are you fixed for people who don't like you? Got many to choose from?
Dollar, we treat our help fair and square. We know them all and trust them all.
Have you fired anyone lately?
Nobody. The only ones who left were floaters, but none of them had a beef.
Okay. Miss Pepper, now, think back. In your life, who'd most like to see you have a real bad time?
Only one guy, and he's not around.
Dead?
As good as. He's in jail. Has been for the last 8.5 years.
That's a long time. How long do you go up for?
10 years.
What you thinking, Dollar?
I'm thinking that with time off for good behavior, maybe he's not in jail.
Not in jail? Shanty's gotta be in jail. He's gotta be, I tell you. You told me you were keeping an eye on...
All right. Break it up, Louisa. If Carter Lace had a voice as sharp as yours, he could saw his way out of jail. Okay, Dolly, you made a guess. How about seeing how good it is?
Sure. I'll find out if your boogeyman's still in jail, but I didn't catch the name.
Lacey. Carter Lacey.
And where's he been in the pokey?
Massachusetts State Prison at Charleston.
What'd he go up for?
What's that to you?
Cut it, Louisa. Tyler, we sent Carter Lacey to jail for attempted murder. He tried to kill Louisa's niece, Myrtle.
Is she around?
She's running the snake show on the Midway. Dala, how soon can you check whether Carter got out?
As soon as I can make a phone call. But, Shanny, before I do, I'd like to elaborate on that guess I made. Now, I not only guess that Carter Lacey is out of jail, but I also guess that he's been out for a little over 10 days. Expense account item 4, $3. Telephone call to Massachusetts State Prison, confirming both my guesses. Carter Lacey had checked out of the Bay State Greystone Hotel for Bad Boys 2 weeks previous. Item 5, $32. Telephone calls to various hotels in the last 10 towns the Funfair and Weatherly Carnival show had played. Item 6, 10 cents, 2 nickels. Spent calling 2 hotels right here in Talladega. And then I dropped 1 more nickel in that telephone and got a lucky number.
Yes, sir. We do have a Mr. Carter Lacey registered. Room 312. Shall I call him up and let him know you're here?
And hit the jackpot. Expense account item 7. 75 cents. Cab fare to the Sunshine Hotel. Tip to the driver, $1. From the lobby, I called room 312. He invited me up. I invited him down. I knew I'd feel better talking to Carter Lacey with a lot of other people around. They'd make nice witnesses if he suddenly got homesick for prison life and used me as his ticket back. I waited in the coffee shop. The waitress brought me a cup of coffee, and my palate went to work refereeing a one-sided bout between the strong Java and the weak cream.
Hello, Dollar?
Oh, right. Sit down.
Thanks.
So you're Carter Lacey, huh? Have some coffee?
No, thanks. It keeps me awake nights.
How about your conscience? Having the same trouble with that?
My conscience deserves an 8.5-year rest, but it can't start its vacation until I even up a few scores.
Busting up carnivals?
Child's play. Look, Dollar, over the phone you told me you're an insurance investigator. You can save your company a lot of money.
How?
Call him up and tell him not to insure the lives of 3 people. Because any minute now, 2 of them are going to be dead.
Louisa Pepper, her niece Myrtle, and Shanny Brennan.
Yeah, Dollar. I'm going to kill 2 of those people. The other one, who's still my friend, is going to help me do it. In case you don't know your law, Dollar, don't bother calling the cops. I can't be held for making a threat unless I put it in writing.
Well, Lacey, I don't know what your beef is against the people running that carnival. But those accidents have been hurting a lot of innocent bystanders.
Dollar, you're talking to a guy who really knows what it means. Getting hurt as an innocent bystander.
Expense account item 8. $25. Retainer to local detective agency. Hiring a shadow for Mr. Carter Lacey. Explanation? An ounce of crime prevention is worth a ton of trials. Item 9. $1.20. Cab fare back to the evening's festivities at the Funfair and Weatherly Carnival, which was rapidly becoming more and more of a thrill show. Expense account item 10, 30 cents, down payment on an ulcer. Eating supper at what the Carney people call a grease joint. I made my way among the trailers that were lined up behind the Midway, and as I looked for the one housing Louisa Pepper's snake-charming niece Myrtle, the burning sensation around my heart wasn't all caused by the hot dogs I'd just eaten.
Who is it?
I got a message from Carter Lacey.
What did you say?
I said, I got a message from Carter Lacey. For you, for your Aunt Louisa, and Shanny Brennan. You're the only one I haven't met yet, so I thought I'd deliver it to you first.
Where is he?
In town. Got any snakes in that trailer?
No, of course not.
All right, then. How about inviting me in?
Are you the insurance guy they told me about?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, come in. What did Lacey say?
He said he's going to kill two of the three of you.
Which two, didn't he say?
No, he didn't. He just said that two of you were going to get it. And that the one among you, the remaining one that was still his friend, is going to help him do it.
He'll do it. He hates us. I know he'll kill us. You said Louisa and Shanty don't know yet?
No, they don't. You're the first to know.
Well, then, I better run and tell them. I'll be back here before I go into my tent for the next show. Grab yourself a drink. I'll be right back.
But she wasn't right back. And it's just as well she wasn't. She might have interrupted me while I was taking a sightseeing trip through the drawers of the trailer's built-in bureau. The pile of silky nothings that give gals that certain something didn't tell me anything that I hadn't already known about women before. But the little black book stashed among them did. I needn't have rushed my search, though, because Myrtle Pepper still was gone after 10 minutes. That's about the time I headed back to her Aunt Louisa's trailer and pulled the door open and walked in.
Oh, you scared me, Dollar, barging in like that.
Mr. Dollar, I told you I'd be right back.
Did Myrtle here deliver Mr. Lacey's little love letters?
Yes, the fool. He always was a fool. He can't kill us.
It's against the law.
I mean, it's impossible, that's all.
Look, Miss Pepper, you and your niece here are both plenty scared. Why you're out shaking those coochie dances you got working over on the Midway? Myrtle, did you tell Shanny about Lacey's threat?
Yeah, I met him on the way over here. Asked him if he'd feed my snakes before showtime. They're dangerous to work with when they're hungry. Yeah, I told him. Said he'd join us here.
Well, what did he say when you told him?
He said if Lacey had one of us helping him, then the three of us had better stick together so we can at least watch each other.
Smart man. He had a good idea. I'd say the three of you had better stick pretty close together, beginning right now. Come on.
Where are we going?
Over to the snake tent. And when we get there, Myrtle, you'll be the only one there among friends. The three of us left Louisa's trailer. We walked past the back of the shooting gallery concession, right in front of it, and along the back line of canvas shanties. We stopped at one, and Myrtle pulled back the canvas flap, and I stepped in, ready for anything. The ladies were not far behind me. I edged slowly over to the square red board fence set up in the center of the tent. There were danger signs splashed in white paint along the outside of the walls of the pit. I clenched my teeth as I looked through the wire mesh at the top at a slithering tangle of writhing, angry reptiles. And there, lying among them, with a vicious red welt splashed across his forehead, was Shanny Brennan. He was feeding the snakes, all right.
In just a moment, we'll return to the second act of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. But first, here is some news. 30 minutes of new thrills will be added to CBS's 10 great Sunday night entertainments this coming Sunday. At 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where you formerly heard Spike Jones, CBS will bring you screen star John Lund in an adventure-packed tale of a ship filled with terror and horror. This story, A Shipment of Mute Fate, starring John Lund, is the first of three special broadcasts from CBS's famous Escape series. It will be heard over most of these stations, immediately preceding a familiar show, which brings you a different kind of escape, The Jack Benny Show. And now, back to yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
I just seen a murder mystery where the actors had been the ones hissing instead of the audience. The lead character in that snake pit wasn't going to win any Academy Award. The scene of the crime was no place for a man, let alone a woman, so I herded Auntie Louisa and her niece Myrtle out of the tent and back into the trailer.
Poor Shanty, how horrible.
Guess I was wrong, Dollar, when I said Carter Lacey couldn't do it.
Oh, what's going to happen to us?
According to what Lacey told me, Myrtle, what's supposed to happen is only going to happen to one of you.
What do you mean? mean.
He claims that one of you is in this with him, and that one knows she's safe. This may turn out to be an acting contest between you two.
What's that crack supposed to mean?
Well, the one that knows they're safe wouldn't want anyone to know that she feels safe, huh?
Huh. I wish I had learned to cry.
Louisa, you don't think it's me.
Well, I know it ain't me.
Now, ladies, how about observing a moment of silence in memory of the deceased while I give you a few instructions? Okay. Have you got a gun in here, Louisa?
Yes, and a license to carry it.
Good. Where is it? The gun, not the license.
I won't give it to you.
Well, if you don't, people might get to thinking that you're Cotta Lacey's girlfriend and accomplice. Anyway, I don't want the gun to take with me. I want to leave it here. Where is it?
In that drawer, right over there.
Which end of the drawer?
What's the matter with you? Blind? You'll see it.
I'm not turning my back on you. Which end?
You'd make a lousy trapeze artist, Dollar. You don't take any chances. This end, toward me.
Thanks. Well, now, where are the keys to the car hitched to the front of this land yacht?
What are they for, Dollar?
Just another chance I'm not taking. With those keys in my pocket, this trailer won't be joyriding anybody off into the night. Where are they?
I'll get them for you.
Hey, wait a minute, Myrtle. How come you know where Louisa's keys are?
Yeah, Myrtle. How come?
What? Why, they're lying right there in plain sight.
Oh, thanks. Now, I'm going out and I'm going to call the police. Louisa, I want you to get in that chair down at the other end of the trailer.
Okay, General. You've got the gun.
And Myrtle, you get in a bunk down at the other end.
I don't understand all this.
While I'm gone, I don't want one of you gals knocking off the other. But on the other hand, I can't leave you here without protection. So I'm going to leave the gun right here, on this table in the middle of the trailer. And if Cotta Lacey comes knocking at your door, you can have yourselves a race for the gun. Expense account item 11, 5 cents. Telephone call to the local police, plus another nickel spent calling a taxi. The cops arrived in 4 minutes, the cab in 15. Its driver had no siren to take him through the traffic lights. Item 12, $1.10, cab fare on an exceedingly slow and tedious trip to the Sunshine Motel. Tip to this kind of driver, a nickel. I went up to the third floor and headed down the hall to Cotta Lacey's room, 312. I rapped for an entrance, but all that came back was an echo. The lock on the door was a soft touch type, known in the trade as a burglar's friend, so I went in. Stars fell on Alabama? Stiffs fell in Alabama tonight. Hello, operator? Operator, this is an emergency call. Let me have the Talladega police, will you? Hello, police department? This is the same guy that just called you from the carnival to report a murder. Yeah? Well, you can send a second team. I got another one for you over here at the Sunshine Hotel. Room 312. A party's just been strangled. Yes, I'm sure. Lots of bruises and deep-set fingernail marks on her throat. Sure, I know who it is. The name of this deceased is Myrtle Pepper. Myrtle Pepper certainly had been a fast worker. She not only beat me down to the hotel, she's managed to get herself killed in the bargain. I dusted the room for information, which was obviously more than the floor mate had done for the dirt. And then I came up with a kind of eye-opener you don't drink. A pint-sized surprise in the form of old newspaper clippings and Cotta Lacey's prison release form. And what let him out let me in on something. I got out of the room and into the elevator. And when I hit the lobby, wondering where to start looking for him, I found him sitting there looking at me.
Hi.
Where do you want to talk, Lacey?
I don't want to. But if you want to try and make me... What's the matter with right here?
Okay. I supplied you with an alibi today. I don't see him in the lobby.
That detective, he had stomach trouble. He got kicked in it. You can reach him at the city hospital. You know, in prison, I was a trustee. I get out, nobody trusts me.
Well, with that forecast you gave me this morning, what else?
Forecast?
Yeah, you predicted that you'd kill two people. Well, tonight, two people are dead. Shanty out at the carnival, and now Myrtle up in your room. What does that make you?
A good forecaster.
Or a killer, maybe.
Thanks for the maybe. Look, Dollar, I came to this town to take care of something. I took care of it. You want to yell cop? Go ahead. From now on, nothing bothers me.
Well, then stop chewing your fingernails. You told me this morning that one of these three people was working with you. There's only one left. And suddenly, Lacey, I don't believe your story.
Suddenly, I don't care.
Shanty Brennan lied to me this morning. He said that you went to prison on a charge of attempted murder. Your prison release papers say you went up for grand larceny.
You see what happens to bad little boys who tell lies?
I'm not through yet. I fished a bank book out of Myrtle Pepper's trailer. A three-way joint account. Myrtle, Shanty, and Louisa. The first deposit? $60,000. The date? The same year you were thrown in the can for stealing $60,000. To me, that spells a three-way split for them and a frame for you. Also for you, it spells a motive for hating the three of them.
So I lied to you. What are you gonna do? Wash my mouth out with soap?
From now on, I don't need any answers from you, including smart ones. But look, you'd better stick around. If the cops don't pick you up for murder, maybe the hotel will want to press charges against you for having an extra unregistered person occupying your room.
Who is it?
Johnny Dollar.
Oh, wait a minute. Where's Cotta? They arrested him. Tell me, did he escape?
He's at the hotel. The cops are on their way down there right now. I hope he's more talkative with them than he was with me.
You talked to him?
Yeah. I had a long, one-sided conversation with him. There's one thing I still can't figure out. Whether he really intended to kill Shanty and Myrtle or not.
Myrtle?
Yeah, strangled.
Myrtle. Well, the poor little angel. Of course he meant to kill him. He hated him. He hated us all.
Well, you can hardly blame a fella for being annoyed. Framed on a grand larceny charge by three old chums. But you got the wrong idea, Louisa. What I meant, did he ever really intend on killing him himself? Or did he just intend to set off the greatest chain reaction since the atomic bomb and sit back and watch the three of you try to beat each other to it?
Why? That's crazy talk.
Yeah, like a fox, maybe. He made the threat to me, knowing that I'd carry it back to you. I say you because you're the only one left. You see, he set himself up as a patsy. He'd been framed by you once before. To me, it looks like Cotta Lacey learned a few things about wrong people during that 8-year stretch. Namely, they never trust each other.
You're absolutely nuts, Dollar. Think you'd better get out of here. Go peddle your insurance. The cops will take care of Mr. Lacey.
I don't think they will, Louisa.
Why not?
Myrtle was strangled. That's the kind of murder a man would commit.
Well.
But there was a set of deep fingernail marks on her throat. And Cotta Lacey bites his nails. So maybe you'd better get yourself a manicure before the police arrive.
Thanks for the advice. Stand right there, Dollar. This time, I got the gun.
Hold everything, Louisa.
Cotta!
This is a standoff, Louisa. Point that thing someplace else before I point mine up your snoot. Okay, Dollar, get out!
What's the matter with you, Lacey? Are you cracking up? Your plan was going fine. First, Myrtle tossed Shanty to her snakes, and then Louisa took care of Myrtle. And there's only one left, and the state will take care of her for you.
That's not enough. There's one satisfaction I haven't enjoyed so far. That's hearing one of these pigs squeal.
Cotta! We can still split the money and the show and get out of here!
The only one that's gonna get out of here is Dollar. Beat it!
I beat it, all right. I was the only one in the trailer without a gun. I plunged into the darkness, looking for something, and came up with a tent rope and dashed back to the trailer door. I lashed the knob to the guide rail. I didn't want those gun-happy birds flying the coop. Just then, the season opened. I didn't know who was going to come out the worst in there, the hunter or the hunted. The only key I had to the situation was the key to the car, the one I picked up early in the day. The car churned the trailer and threw the carnival back lot and out onto the highway. And when I hit the cement, I started spinning rubber. Just as I hit the streets of the sleeping city, things woke up. Whoever was left back there snapped a shot at me through the trailer's front window. A second shot was my cue to try and ruin their aim by playing rock-a-bye trailer, swinging the car from one side of the street to the other. Just as a not-so-sharp shooter made another try, I picked up just what I was looking for. A game of tag with a police patrol car. Expense account item 13. 15 cents. Bicarbonate of soda. Those midway hot dogs I had for supper were no thoroughbreds. Item 14. $35. Cigars for the night shift of the Talladega police, for whom I had started things smoking. Item 15. $3. Hotel bill. Oh, whoa, but don't let it ever be said that I ever turned in a measly $3 hotel bill for myself. This was to check out of the Sunshine Hotel, the man who had checked out in the trailer at the hands of Louisa Pepper. Louisa Pepper, the only one who was a good bet to catch up with Brennan, who had been murdered by Myrtle, and Myrtle, who'd been loused up by Louisa, and Carter, whom she had also carted out of this world. Proving that when you start any kind of chain reaction, you should be careful, because you never can be sure where it's gonna stop. Expense account total. What? Only $692.18? I must be slipping. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
The madman of music is moving. Yes, Spike Jones, formerly heard on CBS on Sunday, is already unpacking his fabulous collection of flit guns, Dutch dish pans, and other instruments, ready for tomorrow night's premiere broadcast as a CBS Saturday star. Hear the Spike Jones Show on most of these same stations tomorrow night at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, when it joins Vaughn Monroe, Gene Autry, Gangbusters, and Sing It Again as a regular Saturday night CBS feature. Well, the radio waves are safe once again, thanks to the quick thinking and fast action of Jane Blaine and Johnny Dollar. Tune in next week for more Radio Crime Fighters on Mystery Tuesday. For WOTARP, I'm John Crosley saying good night. Broken Links was written by Eva Shigula. Murder is a Merry-Go-Round was written by Paul Dudley and Gil Dowd and originally aired on CBS on March 11, 1949. This has been a production of the On the Air Radio Players. Tonight's show was directed by Stan Baranowski. Our production manager was Ori Cruz. Music was provided by Beth Ann Jacobs. Our sound engineer was Devin Langston. Additional material was written by Jack Cody and edited by Bob Dutton. The voices and sound effects artists of tonight's show were Ori Cruz, David Hightower, Todd Magnuson, Michelle Neport, Morgan Riley, Anya Thomas, and Bob Dutton. For more information about upcoming shows and for recordings of past performances, visit our website, www.otarp.com. For the on-the-air radio players, this is Bob Dutton saying thank you and good night.